Joining us this morning with a legislative update, your Washington State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Well, pleasure, and thank you. Well, congratulations. The education bill appears to be well on its way.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So yesterday was a very key date in the legislature for bills to pass out of their fiscal committees, so the budget committees. And my Senate Bill 5147 related to school learning recovery and stabilization passed. And it passed unanimously out of the Ways and Means Committee, but it had prior passed unanimously also out of the Education Committee. But for the committee vote yesterday, I actually partnered with the chair of the Senate Education Committee, a woman named Lisa Wellman out of Mercer Island, and we broadened the bill quite a bit. So if you'll recall, it originally had the pilot idea for school districts to voluntarily look at balancing their school calendar over more of an 11-month or 12-month period. So the bill retains that option for a limited number of school districts to pursue that just voluntarily if they want to. But also, it added some additional instructional days for this next school year, because we're anticipating that school districts and students are going to really need to catch up due to the COVID impacts, the less than ideal remote learning, and then what most school districts are experiencing is either non-existent or a much reduced in-person in-building instruction. So some additional learning days would be good. And also, we're actually proposing a one-week kind of summer re-engagement program where students can come back to their school buildings before the school year to engage in physical activity, either in the open gym or in the ball fields. These would all be supervised by instructional staff and support staff, but also cafeterias, libraries, to get students kind of an opportunity to get re-engaged, both from an academic perspective, but also from a social-emotional perspective and a physical activity perspective. So there are some things we're trying to put together in this bill to support school districts in the short term and the long term to really address what could be long-term impacts from COVID related to learning loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any more information or progress on anything transportation-wise that folks should know about?
Yeah, well, the Transportation Committee is a fiscal committee as well, because we oversee the transportation budget, and we just concluded that committee, and my Senate Bill 5000 on hydrogen vehicles advanced. But, you know, one of the things that the Transportation Committee is considering is what to do, how to fund some new additions to the transportation system. And transportation funding, as I think we've talked about before, it's always a challenge because people want a high-functioning transportation system, but, you know, the projects can be high cost as well, and they don't always want to pay the taxes to fund the project. So we're just kind of wrestling around with how that works at the state level. And as far as transportation goes, there have been some proposals pursued this session. I don't know if they'll advance all the way to raise the gas tax to pay for some transportation projects, as well as some maintenance and preservation needs. And we certainly have a lot of maintenance and preservation needs. I know, for example, a lot of the listeners to KOZI live in the Metha Valley, and a lot of those bridges all the way up to Winthrop do require significant maintenance and preservation, as well as a lot of other needs in Chelan and Douglas counties. So transportation does continue to be a major focus for the state of Washington.
Yeah, I believe in our last conversation with Representative Keith Gaynor, he mentioned that this big push for electric vehicles, that we just simply don't have the capacity for this push that's being put forward. Is this where you feel your hydrogen-powered vehicles might come into play?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, I'm actually a big supporter of battery electric vehicles, but I'm also a big supporter of hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles. The battery electrics, right now we have about only 1% of the drivers statewide that are utilizing them. But when you think about how that will scale up, if there's 5%, 10%, 20% of the drivers utilizing battery electrics, you run into a real challenge for scalability, because you know, if you, you know, if it takes you 20, 30 minutes to charge up your battery and there's 5 or 10 people in front of you, well, that becomes a problem. And then if you need, you know, on the back end, a transformer, a new substation, potentially a new transmission line to get the energy to the recharging stations, you know, that can have significant costs too, both financially and environmentally. So I do believe that hydrogen vehicles are a potential good addition to the system to help reduce our greenhouse gas emissions in the transportation sector, because basically we could be producing hydrogen and then distributing it to the fueling stations, basically like we do gasoline. But the good part is we could do that on hydrogen semi-trucks as well. So I think there are a lot of good opportunities for hydrogen. And I'm really excited because I passed that bill a couple of years ago to allow public utility districts to produce and distribute hydrogen. And Douglas County PUD up there, Power from Wells Dam, will be doing that. And we're really in North Central Washington in a position to lead the state on this. And not only lead the state, I believe Washington State is as well positioned as any state on the West Coast, or perhaps the entire United States, to deliver a more comprehensive solution with clean hydrogen, whether it's passenger vehicles, transit buses, school buses, short-haul agricultural and semi-trucks, or long-haul, getting our apples to the Port of Seattle on hydrogen semi-trucks, and potentially even bigger, you know, with trains, planes, and sea vessels. So there's a lot of good opportunities for hydrogen, and if we can build up that market, I think it will only benefit our area because of our ability to produce the hydrogen here using our surplus hydropower electricity. So it could be a real economic boom for our region as well.
What kind of employment opportunities could we expect from the development of hydrogen power?
Well, the production of hydrogen, all the spinoff opportunities, the distribution network. I mean, if you think about all the people associated with the electric vehicle, battery vehicle market, there's some huge opportunities there. And really, it's, you know, if we have a chance to lead the way on this, we could see a lot of funding, because this does match well with some of the state's goals to reduce carbon emissions in the transportation sector. And if that's the case, we could see a lot of funding coming to the state of Washington to help encourage us to be successful with our hydrogen. I mean, think about the hydropower dams and how those contribute to our economy. If we're able to be a huge supplier of renewable clean hydrogen statewide, or perhaps on the West Coast, I mean, I think the sky's the limit as far as economic opportunities. And really, environmentally, when you think about it, our electric sector is already so clean in North Central Washington and Washington State. Most of our carbon emissions come from the transportation sector. So if we can produce our hydrogen locally and then we can use it to fuel vehicles here, we could not only benefit ourselves economically, but it could also help us reduce are basically one and only source of carbon emissions, which is from transportation vehicles. So it is really exciting when you think about it. And I know that our region has a long and proud history of clean energy and innovation. And I think this is potentially the next generation opportunity for us here.
Senator Hawkins, we have a listener calling in with hydrogen question, I should say. Would you be willing to take that question?
Yeah, okay. That'd be great.
Good morning, caller. You're on with Senator Hawkins.
Well, good morning. Yes, maybe I can get a question, because I've heard keep hearing about this hydrogen vehicles. My problem with such things is hydrogen is a derivative of water. Without water, you can't have hydrogen. And what happens in the winter when the water freezes? Okay. Now, to keep the water warm, you either have to add something to it, but if you do that, then it becomes unusable for hydrogen. So my question is how on earth are they going to make a hydrogen vehicles usable, where up here in the northern part of the United States, temperatures drop below 32 degrees.
All right. Senator, yeah, what can you tell us about that?
Good question. And I had to revisit my whole chemistry background because I wasn't that good at chemistry. But you take, to produce hydrogen, you have H2O, as the caller mentioned, and you split out with electricity, you split out the oxygen, and you end up with hydrogen. And then that's used as in place of a fuel cell, as a fuel cell in the vehicle to drive the electric motor. So it's not necessarily a huge amount of hydrogen that will be needed to constantly fuel the electric motor. But that is essentially how the system works for hydrogen vehicles, is a fuel cell that generates the electricity for the motor. And in the hydrogen vehicles, they're currently being used all across China and Japan, but also in California. And it's not just for the smaller passenger vehicles, but also for semi-trucks and transit vehicles also in California. So it is very interesting when you think about, you know, exactly how it works.
Yeah. Well, thanks to our caller for the question. Now, before we run out of time, Senator, as we look at the remaining time for this session, what do you hope to still get done?
Well, we're going to be transitioning to the floor voting, which is a real interesting phase in the process. So we're pretty much done with the committee work for now, and we're going to start entertaining bills from other committees. And so I kind of look more broadly. I'm accustomed to the bills and familiar with those that have come out of the committees I've served on, but now these bills are coming at us from all these different committees, and I'm going to spend a lot of time with my Senate colleagues, virtually, of course, voting in the full Senate. So that's going to be the next couple weeks.
All right.
And then we meet a key cutoff for bills that need to clear the Senate in order to advance. And at that point, Senate passed bills go to the House of Representatives, and House of Representatives passed bills come over to the Senate for the same consideration. So it's going to be a long ways to go still in the process.
Still a lot of work to be done. We do appreciate your time this morning. For a legislative update, your Washington State Senator Brad Hawkins. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Jeff, and thanks to the caller.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a good question. There we go.